It's great to come and read God's Word together and look at it together. And though the passages that we've read will have influence on what I want to share, you remember that we're in a new series that we're calling Total Sufficiency, that's built around that well-known psalm, Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, and we know it very well, don't we? And we're trying to remember that through the course of this series, we're going to get to know the shepherd better, and the way that we get to know the shepherd better is to learn the shepherd's psalm. So, when we finish the series, it'd be nice to have one or two others, other than Sarah, who came up beautifully last week and recited the psalm herself. And I think from what we've heard, we need to be a people that come apart with the Lord, unless we become a people who come apart without him. How's that going to happen? Well, if we're not too busy. Kathy and I were out for a meal the other night with my other brother and his wife, the non-dancers. And I noticed that the waitress who was serving us had a top on that said these words: "I am too busy to tell people how busy I am." So I didn't like to say too much to her for obvious reasons. But, you know, that's the kind of world that we're in, isn't it? Busy. 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 Not that being busy is so much the problem. More being too busy. Do you find that? So busy is running from one appointment to another. Perfectly acceptable. But being too busy is running over someone on to get to your next appointment. That's not so good, is it? I'm not talking about being in the car. Trouble is, when you're too busy, you get stressed. And what happens then? You can run people over with your mouth. You can run people over with your irritability, with your impoliteness. You ever been run over by that? It's not very nice, is it? I don't think so. Anyway, busy is leaving your mobile phone behind at the supermarket. Too busy is leaving your child behind at the supermarket. Busy is having a deadline to meet. Too busy is being dead before you meet the line. I saw this lovely illustration. When the manager asks if you're coping okay with your caseload, do you ever feel like that at times? Just before you go under, we'll give that great thumbs up. Brilliant, isn't it? Some of us are busier than a moth in a mitten. Or a one-eyed cat that's got three mice holes to look after. And you know the tragic irony of that? Is that whilst we want to cut back, we just can't make the time to figure out how best to cut back. Is that just me I'm speaking to? Being busy can be blessed. I'm not here to knock being busy. When the Lord Jesus first called his disciples, they were busy fishing. It's not being busy that is the problem, but being too busy makes us stressed. So today, I pray to make the wonderful discovery in the total sufficiency that is the Lord our shepherd, that the difference between being blessed and being stressed is often rest. I think that's true. The difference between being blessed and being stressed is often rest. That's why it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down." Anybody want to lie down this morning? Well, give me time. You will in a minute, okay? Now listen, the Bible, we know, the Bible points us to the ant as a danger against laziness. You understand that? But even so, no ant was ever too busy to miss a good picnic. It's true, isn't it? So if this is on your list of things to do today, I believe this is the kind of message that you need to hear. It's certainly one that rings true in my own heart. If you're the kind of person that understands that the faster you go, the behinder you get, then here is our comforting thought to treasure for this morning. That to be at our best in the Lord, to be at our best in the Lord, we have to take our rest with the Lord. So if you remember nothing else, I hope that you can take that on board. Because, you know, we shouldn't have a life that's in control of us. We should be in control in the Lord of the life that we have. I think there's some great truth there. Somebody, I think, once brilliantly paraphrased the 23rd Psalm to reflect just how restless we can become. Do you know this? The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me to deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. For my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My in-tray overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. Amen. Amen. The clock can be quite a devastating thing. Do you ever feel that you're burning the candle at both ends? I've heard people say often, I'd rather burn out than rust out, but I believe with all my heart that God, our good shepherd, wants us to last out. Don't you? That's why we need to remember, as I said last time, the welfare of the sheep is the work of the shepherd. It's not our work for him that brings us to rest. It is his work for us that brings us to rest. Know the peace, know the blessing of that. And I pray that you will. A rest, I think, as I hope we'll see, can be the difference between being blessed or being stressed. And I don't know about you, but I want God's best for my life. And so there it is again. So let's say it together, this particular verse that we're going to reflect on now. Say it with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Let me just underline quickly some of the things that I hope will take us from stressed to blessed. Know God's best as we find our rest in him this morning. And that's the first thing there. We find our rest in the Lord. I know it's a simple thing to say, and I'm going to be playing on words this morning, but I hope that you can understand the depth to the truth in the difference that just one word can make. Firstly, we rest in the Lord. So as I've underlined it here, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. The he is the Lord. Our shepherd, as we saw last week. And only he, the Lord, our shepherd, can bring us to rest. I think of what that 4th century African theologian, Augustine, famously said. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. I wonder this morning, have you found your rest in the Lord? Because we're never going to know how to be at rest in him until we first know that we are at rest with him. He is the door to our rest. He is the means of our rest. The Jehovah, the great I am, the same God who is David's shepherd, is the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament, who said, I am the good shepherd, and went on to say, listen to this, I am the door, or if you prefer, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And what's the consequence of that? They will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. You see, rest in the Lord is by means of the Lord. The shepherd becomes the door to all God wants to save us from and secure us for. I don't know if you've ever seen a Middle Eastern sheepfold. It is not the same as you might discover it in the United Kingdom, made of wood with a hinged gate. But actually, in Jesus' day and in the Middle East today, there are so many stones and rocks around the countryside that a shepherd just builds a dry wall, literally a dry wall enclosure, for the sheep to be in, and leaves just a gap at the front big enough for a sheep to go in and to come out. But the gate to the pen is the shepherd himself. He lies down in that small gap. So in order for a sheep to go in, it's got to go through him. And for a sheep to go out, it's got to get past him. So we find our rest in the shepherd, through whom there is life to know in all of its abundance, so that we lack for nothing. And once we're secure in the sheep pen, once we're in the fellowship of belonging to God's people, we can't get out because we'll never get past him. Till he tells us where to go. Until he tells us what to do. Are you in? Are you at rest? Have you passed through the door that is the shepherd? Do you know your rest in him? I've spent more time, as some of you probably will guess, in graveyards and burial grounds than a lot of other people, for obvious reasons. But still, when I'm in those places, the words that you'll find more than any other words around the place are rest in peace. But the truth is that there's neither rest nor peace outside of knowing him who, as the good shepherd, invites us to come to him if we're weary and if we're burdened, and promises to give us rest. You're not going to find it in anything else or anyone else other than Jesus. We find our rest in him. You don't find it in a place. You know, the Jews of old believed that once they got to the promised land, they would be at rest. But I mean, you've only got to look at the Middle East today. You can see if there's a place in the world where there lacks rest, it's still there. Because if you're not there with the Lord, wherever you're at, it's never going to deliver rest. You're never going to find it in possessions, are you? No matter what you got, you're never going to be content outside of knowing him. You're never going to find it in pounds. You cannot buy what God freely makes available to us at the expense of the shepherd's life. It is finding rest in the Lord. And you're never going to find it in pleasure. Because for good or bad, pleasure can anesthetize our problems for a bit, but it is never the answer to them. Do you know the security and the salvation and the rest? Because you've put your trust in the one who is the door to life in all of its fullness. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it in all of its fullness. Have you come through him? Are you in that place of safety? In that place of security? Have you found your rest in the Lord? Well, if you have, then of course you can find rest from the Lord. And here we underline that little phrase, he makes me lie down. The first thing a shepherd does for the sheep, once they are his sheep and have found their rest in him, is he makes them lie down. And this rest from the Lord is a command. He makes them. Sheep don't like to lie down. They are like little children and criminals. They resist arrest. It's a terrible pun, but it's a great truth, isn't it? You know, so give me some encouragement at least, you know? Have you never seen a child frantically trying to stay awake? Do you ever remember doing that yourself? Their eyes are closed and they're trying to stay awake. And they're fighting the urge to sleep, you know, especially when you're feeding them. You know, it can be very funny. But still, resistance to rest is at heart immaturity. We accept it in young children. We laugh it off. But we know that for those of us who want to progress in our life with the Lord, want to move on in his purposes and plans for what he's got ahead of us, we need to hear the command that comes from the Lord to take our rest. The sheep knew it. We must know it. And I have learned something very interesting about sheep because I've been studying sheep a lot over the last few weeks. In fact, I think I got a BAA in it. But I tell you, whatever else you remember, you'll still remember that, won't you, when you get home? But I've learned this: sheep do not graze when they lie down. They rest and chew on what they have already eaten. And the amazing thing is that while they're lying there, they're taking their rest from the Lord and digesting their meal. It's a critical time for sheep because it's at this point, as it's been well proven, that their wool grows the fastest and their bodies grow the strongest during this quiet time. So the first thing that the shepherd leads the sheep to do is to rest. It's commanded of us. Normally when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is to get ready to go to work. And then we work and then we get tired, and only having worked do we take our rest. But God wants us to rest before we work, because we'll grow faster in him, we'll get stronger for him, only by the time we spend with him. And yet we're too busy to grow and mature and progress. It's little wonder that God gives it to us in a command, don't you think? Because it doesn't come natural, does it? It doesn't. Indeed, you know, the longest of the Ten Commandments deals with one thing. Has this ever hit you before? The longest of the Ten Commandments deals with one thing, and that's how to take the day off. I think that's significant. It fascinates me that God has more to say about taking a day off than he does about either murder, adultery, or stealing. And the fact that God considers rest as important as work, which is why our rest is from the Lord, it's not me telling you this, it's God telling us this. He both sanctions it and blesses it because he knows that the sheep need the Sabbath. We need the rest. That's why I had the reading earlier. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, set apart unto the Lord. It's unto him. Whatever you do, I'm not getting into that today. I'm not here to make rules as to what you do on the Sabbath. I want you to enjoy your relationship with the Lord who gave us the Sabbath. But whatever you do on the Sabbath, whatever day you choose to do it on, remember it's as unto the Lord. It's holy unto him. And that's what we're commanded to remember. And you see, remembering is more than just about not putting it out of your mind. Remembering the Sabbath, I think, is throwing your whole heart behind it. It's a bit like remembering your wedding anniversary. I mean, if Kathy came up to me on July the 11th on any given year and said, "Do you remember what day it is?" And all I said to her was, "Sure, I remember. I remember. It's our anniversary." And there was no dinner, and there were no flowers, and there was no gift, and there was no nothing, then it would become a special anniversary because it would probably be the last anniversary that I'm alive to enjoy. You see, that's how we remember the Lord's day, to show our love for God on that day so that we can grow and progress and move from stressed to blessed, because we find our rest in him and from him. It's the oldest command, isn't it? You look at the Bible. I didn't know this. You know, well, I probably did, but I'd forgotten. The first time that God blessed anything that he made in this world was the Sabbath day of rest. Hey? God made it for us before he even gave us the family and blessed the home. And God modeled it for us. Look at this. God modeled it for us by resting himself after 6 days of creating. So God made the Sabbath and he modeled it so that we get the lesson from it. Not that he rested because he was tired. He rested because he wanted to introduce a maintenance plan for the whole of the world that he'd made. That you cannot keep going on and on and on being busy and being fruitful and being effective unless you hear the command and take your rest from the Lord. God rests. Jesus rested. Can I ask you a question? Are we busier than God? Are we? No. But so many are stressed because they cannot get the blessing of rest. You know, I thought about even dirt, even the soil that God made needs a rest. That's why we have things like crop rotation. That's why we have years when fields are left fallow to be fruitful. Even dirt needs rest. And one of the most spiritual things that some people in this church I know need to do more than anything else, more than simply to pray, more than simply to read the Bible, more than simply just to come to church, is to rest in the Lord, because it's what he tells us to do. Amen? How many still awake to hear that this morning? If you're not, you really are taking this word to heart. Aren't you? That's right. Rest in the Lord. Here's a little thing to remind you. I like that. You can't read it. I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. Well, there's a lot of distractions there, isn't there? There is a lot of distractions. I know there are people who say the devil doesn't take a day off, and that's absolutely true, isn't it? He doesn't. But whose example do you want to follow? The devil's or the Lord's? Take your rest in the Lord, get your rest from the Lord. And then next, and we are getting through it, I promise you. The next thing is take your rest with the Lord. I think this is a wonderful privilege and a great, for me personally, you know, the kind of foundation of my Christian life. That I take my rest with the Lord. Look at what it says again. I'll just put it up for you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, if you're a sheep, that's brilliant, isn't it? Hey? I mean, we could translate that to mean, he makes me come to Shirley Baptist Church every Sunday morning. Amen. And people say, green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. We get to that, but the point is, you know, you're not going to be at rest if you're at rest alone. The only way to counteract busyness and stressfulness in your life is to be at rest with the Lord. Where the sheep are, the shepherd is. And the sheep find their rest in what he's provided, partly because he's right where with them. Isn't that the great thing? It's great to open our word, the Bible. That's our green pastures. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Bible is our green pastures. The Holy Spirit is our quiet waters. Remember when Jesus stood up on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles and he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. And out of him, out of his innermost being, will flow streams of living water. And just in case those listening didn't get the point, he said, this I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit. So we get into God's word, feed on that rich pasture, and allow the Holy Spirit, the quiet waters, to come and minister God's refreshing and rest and peace to our lives as we do it. Can you think of anywhere that you'd rather be where the shepherd wasn't? You can relax in any way. John's already highlighted that. I'm not here to tell you how to relax. You know, you can come and play golf with me if you want. That'll get you stressed out. Yeah, it will. However you relax is not the point. But relax in the Lord. If what you're doing, you wouldn't want the shepherd to be watching or hearing or being a part of, it ought to ring a warning bell in your mind to say, well, should I be doing that? Because there is no blessing if you're not taking your rest with the Lord. And sheep will only lie down once they are content. They've had their fill, they lie down. And I don't know about you, but that's not easy, is it? Yeah, we get so discontent. We always think there's something around the corner that we're going to miss out on if we just take a moment out. Something over the hill that's going to rob us of God's best if we don't do what he's saying. I was reading a poem by a 14-year-old boy who expressed his discontent this way. I thought this was lovely. 14 years. He writes this: it was spring, but it was summer I wanted. The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was autumn I wanted. The colourful leaves and the cool dry air. It was autumn, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted. To be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted. The presence of mind still without limitations. My life was over, but I never got what I wanted. It's easy to be discontent. What does the shepherd want most for his sheep? That they're content and they're healthy. So he puts us in green pastures and beside quiet waters. Sheep will not drink beside anything but quiet waters because they're frightened of drowning. I mean, if you had a woolen coat like that on and it got wet and you were taken off in a stream, you'd be frightened of drowning too, wouldn't you? But when you're safe and secure in the provision of the shepherd who puts you beside quiet waters, you can drink to your fill. You can be refreshed in your spirit, which is a ministry, is it not, brothers and sisters, of God's Holy Spirit? You read the word and pray for the Spirit to come. I promise you, God's going to bring refreshment. Do you find time to rest with the Lord? I hope you do. To put it in a simple way, are you content? Are you content? Because that's when the sheep are growing the fastest. The wool is becoming its best. And they are getting their strongest. Just a word before I conclude. Don't just run the engine till the tank is dry. Let the Lord lead you to his filling station. And here's the final thing before we sing. Rest on the Lord too. Okay? I know, as I said, they're simple words that I've just changed. But I think there's a depth in doing so. He leads me. He leads me. We have just seen where he leads us to. Green pastures, quiet waters. But we need to rest on the Lord if we are to arrive there. Do you know the reason that some of us get so stressed, so discontent, so worried, so fretful, is that we actually are not following the Lord to where he would lead us? That's the reality of it. Do you remember in the Old Testament Elijah? Do you remember when he announced the drought to King Ahab? And the Lord, his shepherd, led him to a brook called Kereth. Do you remember? And how first thing in the morning and last thing at night, God sent the ravens to feed him there. So in the middle of drought, in the middle of famine, he had food and water. Why? Why was he blessed? Because he followed to the place where the Lord had led him. If Elijah had gone anywhere else, the ravens would have been dropping their food and he still have starved to death. He would have been outside of the refreshment of the brook and died of thirst. And some of us get stressed and wound up and disappointed and discouraged because we're not following where the shepherd leads us. The green pastures are there. The quiet waters are there. But somehow we don't want to follow. And it's not only us who miss out, it's other people that will miss it too. Remember Acts 3, when Peter and John healed that man that had been crippled from birth at the beautiful gate? Do you remember that story? He wanted money. They said, "We haven't got any money. We'll give you what we've got. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Now that man was healed. Why? Because Peter and John were being led by the shepherd to go to the temple to pray. Who was the first Gentile converted in the New Testament? Cornelius. Why was he converted? Because God led Peter to go onto a rooftop to pray, showed him a vision so he could break the chains of his religious tradition. And when people came knocking on his door to speak to a Gentile, he was ready to go. But if he'd not been led to where he needed to be, not only would have he lacked the blessing, but others would too. If you're not rested in the Lord, if you're not resting with the Lord, and you're not resting on the Lord, it's not only going to break you, it might do great damage to the family that you head up, to the wife that you're supposed to love as Christ loved the church. Somebody else will lack when we don't find our provision in the Lord and follow his leading. Amen? It's not rocket science, but I tell you what, if you've got nothing out of this talk, God has blessed my soul with it this week. Because there are times when I feel busyness creeps into too much busyness. And the one who misses out is the Lord. And when the Lord misses out, sometimes he will make me to lie down just to remind me how much I need him. That's why sometimes we get sick. Sometimes God will put us in a hospital bed to give us a rest that we didn't ask for, but he knows that we need. Not because he wants to hurt us, he wants to help us and allow us to get our priorities right. Amen? Amen. You've been very patient. This is the finish. Do any of you like Tarzan? None of you. I grew up with Tarzan. Johnny Weissmuller. Hey? There's only one Tarzan. There's only one James Bond to me, Sean Connery. Only one Tarzan, Johnny Weissmuller. I remember an old episode came to me as I read this passage. I remember the episode in which somebody had come from our country to go on some kind of trip in Africa, and they asked Tarzan to lead the trip, and he gets some of his African friends to help carry all the goods. You know, you see him carrying these heavy loads on their shoulders. And the traveller said, "Right, off we go." And for the first 2 days, they moved at great pace. And then the third day, this traveller's up with the lark, and he wants to get off straight away. And Tarzan and his African friends would not budge. They would not budge. And the traveller said, "Why? We're making great progress. We can get there ahead of schedule." And Tarzan said, "No, we've moved fast enough. Now we must stop and take our rest and let our souls catch up with our body." I like that. Some of us, the Lord is just simply saying this morning, you need to let your soul catch up with your body. If you can't hear it from me, hear it from Tarzan. But isn't that what the Lord says? There it is. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Let's pray. Father, lead us to green pastures. Take us to the places where, Lord, our souls can catch up with what the rest of us have been trying to do without you. Take us to those quiet waters and let us listen to the Spirit speak peace and encouragement into our hearts, so that what we do and where we go is not because we've got a whim for it, but Lord, you've led us there and we'll get the best from it. So I pray, Lord, for everyone that's here this morning, this is a word of encouragement. Help us to know that we'll never be able to give our best to you, Lord, until we take our rest from you, Lord. So rest these dear people, and may they move from stressed to blessed because they're prepared to rest in you and on you and with you, knowing that this is a word from you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's close our service with a short little song that we'll sing a couple of times through. As I thought about what I was going to share and how best to finish it, this was the little chorus that came to my mind, and it simply says, "No one but you, Lord, can satisfy the longing in my heart. Nothing I do, Lord, nothing I do can take the place of drawing near to you." Okay, so we'll sing it together. Take our rest in the one whom to know is total sufficiency.